Bitcoin hits $99,000 and almost hits six figures on an incredible run after its breakout from around $73,000. Welcome back to the Bitcoin Layer. I'm Nick Bhatia. In today's episode, we are going to recap Bitcoin's incredible rise. We'll look at the economy and our call that the economy is no longer on recession watch from our perspective. We'll look inside the numbers at Bitcoin's rise and what is going on, what is driving Bitcoin to six figures and beyond. First, I want to start with the weekly candles. We have flagged this consolidation range for several months here. And it was our opinion that once we broke out above the consolidation range, that we would be hitting 96,000 in short order. It's exactly what we got here. And now Bitcoin really has a brand new test as it emerges from the consolidation area and emerges even from the high 90,000 range, which was the sensible move after a $20,000 consolidation that lasted three quarters of a year. But now what's going to happen to Bitcoin going forward? We'll talk a lot about that in today's video, but I want to point out a couple things. First of all, the move higher off of this consolidation wedge, you can see here, I have this yellow arrow that I painted on a chart several months ago to show you guys that Once the wedge resolves, we expect it to resolve upward, and then we'll have this move higher towards six figures. We didn't expect to wait all the way until March, but the drama, the dramatics that Bitcoin brings is what I want to highlight here. Now, a lot of you at home are surprised or shocked at this large move of Bitcoin hitting basically $100,000 today. But if you bring it back to the context, it allows you to remove some of that surprise, and that's what we do here. We are analysts that are trying to give you the context for six-figure Bitcoin. We're also trying to give you the context for seven-figure Bitcoin so that hopefully you're not out there today selling your stack. And the context for six-figure Bitcoin is that it's only a $2 trillion asset. I'm going to show you a chart in a few minutes here that shows you what $2 trillion is as a percentage of global equities. It's tiny. The context for seven-figure Bitcoin, which is $1 million Bitcoin, that's 10 times higher than where we are today. The context for that is that the gold market, the whole gold market right now is somewhere in the $15 to $20 trillion range. So if Bitcoin became a $20 trillion asset, that would put Bitcoin at $1 million. Now, in our recent Zoom Q&As that we have exclusively available to TBL pros, I was going through my expectation of when we would get $1 million Bitcoin, because $100,000 Bitcoin was what we've been trying to prepare you guys for all year. We've written about it, and we've been even making jokes about getting your sewing machines ready so that you could put your own six-figure number on your Bitcoin hat this year. The reason that we've been trying to hammer home this point is because $100,000 Bitcoin is not a surprise to us, especially when we put our fair value at Bitcoin right now somewhere in the range of the size of the money markets, which is $6 trillion. That's about a $300,000 price of Bitcoin. That's where we believe the fair value of Bitcoin to be over the next couple years. So even if you're a trader that agrees with that and you place a 50-50 probability, that puts Bitcoin at $150,000. So these are the tools that we use, the math tools that we use to give ourselves context for $100,000 Bitcoin and $1 million Bitcoin. Now, if you're interested in my prediction on when I expect $1 million Bitcoin, go sign up today at thebitcoinlayer.com/subscribe. Become a TBL pro. We are running a special from right now through Thanksgiving, that's November 28th, 30% off of your first year TBL pro. This is a Black Friday sale. We never put our pro subscription on sale, guys, so this is a once-a-year deal. 30% off for your first year. Become a TBL Pro. You gain access to our Zoom Q&As that we do, live question and answer. We put out a bi-weekly mean median mode quantitative risk report that gives you every single number you need to know across Bitcoin and global macro. That's for you professional investors out there. And you also get access to my letters. Bitcoin is hitting its stride with massive ETF inflows, large geopolitical changes, and the prospect of a United States strategic Bitcoin reserve. 2025 is shaping up to be a defining year for Bitcoin. And here's the real question that you guys need to be asking yourself. Are you prepared? And is your Bitcoin house in order? If you're not sure, you're in luck, because on December 10th, Unchained is hosting a free web event that is an essential session to prepare yourselves for what is ahead. You'll walk away with a clear plan for your end of year moves, smart strategies for bringing your family into Bitcoin, and the confidence of knowing that you are set up for the long haul. Join Unchained's General Counsel Jeff Vandrew and Adamant Capital founder Tor de Meester for an unbelievable session to get you guys positioned for the year end, all your tax strategies, retirement strategies, any question that you might have about Bitcoin planning. With a bull run gaining momentum, this is your window to prepare for what's ahead. Register at unchained.com/TBL for this free web event. Do not write your Bitcoin seed phrases on paper. A lot of Bitcoin, guys, is lost forever, and poor seed phrase management is a big reason why. That is why we use Stampseed. Go check them out at stampseed.com for 21% off of your entire order with the code TBL. Stampseed sells DIY titanium seed phrase kits. They send you these titanium plates. They send you a very heavy-duty hammer. And what you do is you hammer your seed phrase into these titanium plates. These plates are fireproof up to 3,000 degrees. They're rust-proof, crush-proof, and time-proof. So it allows you to really keep these seed phrases in a way that lasts the test of time. You can use them in your single sig or your multi-sig setups. So go check them out today. Stampseed.com. Use code TBL for 21% off of your entire order. This is a Black Friday sale that is going from November 23rd to December 3rd. Go to stampseed.com and use code TBL. Now, what about the volatility of Bitcoin? Well, to the naked eye, Bitcoin's volatility isn't going down. It's going to look extremely volatile to you guys, especially as it goes from 100 to 200K and has some spectacular crash back down towards 100K. I'm just throwing numbers out there to give you guys the idea that extreme volatility is very normal for Bitcoin. On this chart here, we have the rolling 30-day volatility. You can see that stretching back a decade ago, 30-day volatility was in the 10% range. Now it's closer to the 3% range. And as we go forward, you might see Bitcoin's empirical statistical volatility, meaning its standard deviation of returns, decline. However, if Bitcoin is having 2.9% moves instead of 3.1% moves every single month, that puts 5, 10% moves in the range. It also puts 100% years well within the context. So if Bitcoin were to double in 2025, that would be well within context of historical volatility. Bitcoin has more than doubled this year in 2024. Expecting that Bitcoin could do something like that next year. Again, it's in context. That way, when you wake up in a few months and you see Bitcoin's price at 125,000 or 120 or 150,000 or 200,000, you're not shocked. You will have risk management decisions to do, because I know not all of you are just stack sats, buy and hold, and hold forever. A lot of you out there are either active traders, professional investors, or active allocators, meaning you're moving money around on a monthly or quarterly basis. So that is why we have our own risk report, so that we can provide you independent information. We can tell you, hey, it looks like Bitcoin is overheated, or it looks like Bitcoin is undervalued. So that is what we provide in mean median mode. Again, we are running a once a year sale here, so go check that out, thebitcoinlayer.com/subscribe. What about the second place cryptocurrency, Ethereum? It is getting demolished by Bitcoin. This is a price-driven narrative that we have been all over in 2024. Of course, we have our bias for Bitcoin and against Ethereum, given Ethereum's centralization and Bitcoin's decentralization. So from that qualitative perspective, we have our bias. But the price is the truth, and Ethereum's price is just getting crushed under the weight of King Bitcoin. We see now Bitcoin 5 times the market cap of Ethereum as Bitcoin heads to $2 trillion and Ethereum basically just stays flat in the $300 to $400 billion range. Now, Bitcoin versus Ethereum gives us a sense of just how much institutional interest there is for Bitcoin in 2024. In 2017, in 2021, these were different dynamics. Today, the dynamic versus of Bitcoin versus Ethereum is one of institutional demand. That's what we see here for Bitcoin, and we expect this trend to continue. Now, what about Bitcoin versus its halvings? This is something I've discussed a bunch this year. I find it curiously odd people that won't admit or won't acknowledge that Bitcoin is still on its halving cycle. And this is a theory that suggests that once we have a Bitcoin halving event, a scarcity takes hold of the market that gets a bullish momentum cycle started, and it ends up in a brief parabolic move and a blow off top that is followed by a large decline. We have seen a halving in 2012 and this move in 2023, a halving in 2016 and this move in 2017. You see the third halving on this chart in 2020 and the price move in 2020 and 2021. We have a halving event this year in 2024 and then the price taking off again. So if Bitcoin is following a halving cycle, it would be exactly following previous history of Bitcoin's price. If it doesn't follow this halving cycle this time, it would be the first time in Bitcoin's history. It is our bias not to get overly creative and to look at the chart and to look at the move that we've had over the last few weeks and conclude whether it's early or not to conclude, we are concluding that the halving cycle is in full effect. It is repeating, and 2025 is going to have another blow off top in Bitcoin's price. That is our base case. It's been our base case all year long. And unless there's something in the price that tells us we have to change our narrative or our outlook, we are going to go with that narrative. Now here you see, I also want to point out Bitcoin's realized price approaching 35,000 and Bitcoin's market value to realized value ratio here at just above 2.5. Bitcoin at 2.5 MVRV is not overcooked. It's starting to get hot though, that is for sure. Once you're above 2, you are starting to approach this heated area, and that's what we think Bitcoin is heading into, a 2025 year of hot price action. The demand is out of control. The sailor buys are mind-boggling. The price action in MicroStrategy has a lot of the headlines, but it doesn't really have our attention that much. It's a single name story, and we see the moves in Bitcoin being the real story here. Of course, people are out there making money off of Bitcoin equities. It's something that we have discussed here at the Bitcoin Layer, but what we are most focused on is the underlying asset. It's Bitcoin. $100,000 is basically just a hair away. We hit 99,000 today on Thursday, November 21st, and we expect Bitcoin to have an incredible year next year. Okay, in this next chart, we have Bitcoin as a percentage of global equities. You can see about 2.3% right now, as Bitcoin is just shy of $2 trillion market cap. But guys, this is the punchline of today. It's that Bitcoin is only 2% of global stocks. That is still small. If Bitcoin is taking this place as the world's alternative asset, 2% of global stocks is still very small. 2 trillion is very small. 5 trillion, 10 trillion, 10, 20 trillion. These are the numbers that you should expect for Bitcoin over the coming years. Bitcoin is, it's the same thing as when I got into Bitcoin, when Bitcoin was less than $100 billion in size, in market cap. I did the math and I said, this is a multi-trillion dollar asset. And so on its way to a multi-trillion dollar asset, you're going to have large moves up and down. But today at $2 trillion, that's not even multi-trillion, okay? That is just a couple trillion. We're talking about $3, $5, $10, $20 trillion of market cap for Bitcoin over the coming years. If you keep 10 trillion in mind, it helps you hold. Because if you look at $100,000 as the price of one Bitcoin, that doesn't give you any context. But 2% of global equities should tell you that it's still small. It should also hopefully tell you that if you are itching to sell your entire stack of Bitcoin, you're making a mistake. I'm not giving you investment advice. I'm trying to give you context. I'm not saying that you shouldn't try to trade around your position if that's what your profession is or if that's your investment strategy. What I'm trying to give you is the context for the long term. Now, here's a chart that we've shown you all year. It's the path to six-figure Bitcoin. It's also the path to $250,000 Bitcoin. You see the path? It's holding this track that we've set it on in these trend lines here. And seeing Bitcoin rise to $100,000 nearly today, it's honestly, it just isn't that surprising to us. Given Bitcoin's history, Bitcoin has shown us that it is on its way to becoming a dominant global asset. And the size of a dominant global asset is multi-trillions. So when it goes from half a trillion to 1 trillion to 1.5 trillion, it can't surprise you. And hopefully that's what we're trying to explain to you today. Now let's shift gears to the global economy, the US economy, and our recent call that the recession watch is over, guys. Now, we are going to be data dependent and price dependent as we always have. And I basically use one price to tell me where the economy is and where growth expectations are. It's the 10-year yield. And what happened when yields collapsed below 4%? Earlier this year, late in the summer, I told you guys, recession watch is on. It's actually looking more and more like a recession now that we have these collapsing yields. But what happened? Yields reversed, especially as the Treasury market saw Donald Trump returning to the White House. We flagged that for you in early October. And when we saw yields come back above 4%, it was our sign that Trump is coming back to the White House. Then they got all the way to 4.5%. That was the sign that the recession watch is over. There's no recession watch with 4.5% 10-year yields. With 3.5% 10-year yields, the recession watch is on. 4.5%, it's off. And so that's the main thing, is the yields went up so much as to say, there's no recession on the horizon. We shouldn't be owning protection against a recession, meaning we don't need to own treasuries. So the market sold them. Now, when we are looking at what is going to happen next year and looking at the lagged effects of monetary policy, which was one of those things that we thought was going to catch up with the economy, send the housing market into this deep crisis that triggers a recession, a labor market slowing that's going to slow down the consumer. Where are these narratives now? Where are we? Well, let's go through each one of them. Before we get into any charts, I want to talk about the housing market and our call that higher policy rates would trigger a housing recession that would trigger a U.S. recession. So we're looking at the numbers and we don't see the nationwide home prices coming down. We might see a little bit in a localized way next year, but the data is showing us that home prices are going up 5%+ year over year. That is still almost 2 years after the monetary policy situation became tighter and tighter. So the U.S. economy is being able to withstand these higher rates. That is one thing on the housing market. So we'll continue to watch the data. It's the thing that we're most worried about with higher rates, but the market is showing resilience and the housing market is really showing that sales aren't falling off of a cliff and they're actually starting to stabilize. Now, what about the housing market's effect on the labor market or the labor market's effect on consumers? What we see right now is a labor market that, even though quits are collapsing and people are not willing to leave their job, we have average hourly earnings that won't quit. Now, monthly average hourly earnings between 0.3 and 0.4%, that is between 3 and 5% wage gains on a yearly basis. That means the labor market is still tight, guys. It means that you can't find a new worker to do the job, so you have to keep giving your current employees raises. That is the dynamic that we're seeing in the economy. Until we see wages come down, there just isn't any labor market slowdown, recessionary pressure. The recession watch that we've been on was a forward watch. We kept telling the economy is strong today, but we're worried about it tomorrow. It's time to stop worrying about it tomorrow. The data just doesn't show us. Now, I haven't mentioned the broad optimism around the Trump administration coming in, the GOP sweep, the House and the Senate, and the president getting together for large tax cuts and large changes to the U.S. economy. I haven't talked about that yet, but that is part of the thesis here. We are heading into a 2025 economic boom in some of the sectors. Whether those sectors can power the rest of the economy to a boom is yet to be seen, but our bias is starting to become, yes, more and more, yes, that is what we believe. Energy infrastructure, electrification, all are necessary for the compute build out. So that's the AI compute, Bitcoin mining, all of these data servers that are going up around the country, all of that stuff needs to be powered. There is an economic boom around this segment of the economy that cannot be denied, cannot be ignored. The Trump administration is going to lean into all of these policies, and the Make America Great Again policy, the MAGA legislation. And what do I mean by MAGA legislation? I mean borrow and spend, cut taxes, incentivize growth, incentivize building and investment on American projects, American companies, and American sectors. That is the 2025 story. To forecast a recession on top of that story, for me, sounds like an incredibly stupid thing to do for a research analyst. That is why I'm lifting the recession watch. Now, if we get into next year and we see labor market deterioration, we're going to change, We're going to go back. But first of all, we don't have to tell you what to trade. Okay, so that gives us independence. We also don't have to pump Bitcoin or the stock market. We can get bullish or bearish whenever we feel like it. We've been bullish on risk assets. We've been bullish on the stock market since it broke out 4,800. We told you that the corporate bond market has never been stronger. Issuance has never been larger. When corporates issue bonds, they're borrowing money from the public. The public is coming up with some of that money, but a lot of it is honestly created by the banking system as they take down loans and then finance, they take down bonds and then finance that with new repo from other banks around the world. New money, new money, new money everywhere you look. And if the corporates borrow, what do they do with that money? They either buy stocks or they invest in some factories or some new data centers or some new software or something that is a spending effort. Record corporate bond issuance is going to boost stocks. It's going to boost investment. Where is the recession? Where is there room for us to be on a recession watch amidst all of that? We held on to that recession watch for way too long. We also were underappreciating a couple things. Number one, that 0% rates are actually bad for investment. Getting rates off of zero actually gets capital out of underneath the mattress and gets it spending again. So that was something that we underappreciated, which is that the move from zero to five, it's not all restriction, that some of the move from zero to five is actually stimulative in its behavioral impulses. Another thing that we underappreciated is just how little higher rates are affecting the corporate sector that is really comfortable with 5% borrowing rates. It's not slowing them down. You have some companies that are going under because they're not able to pay the debt, but you have a lot of companies that are very much able to sustain. And so because of this reason, we have to listen to the signals that the market is giving us. All-time high in stocks, low credit borrowing spreads. It means no risk of default from the market's eyes. There's just no room for a recession watch. And this next chart, we have quarter over quarter growth in GDP. Look at the last couple years, 2, 3, 4, 2, 3, 4, 2, 3, 4%. There's no ones, there's no zeros. There's nothing going on here that actually shows decelerating growth in the US economy. What about consumer sentiment? Well, in 2022, it had gone way down and consumers were not feeling good. In early 2023, we had a banking crisis. But what's happened since then? A boost in confidence. So the consumer is doing fine, and the last couple years are actually trending up. Where is the U.S. economy on a purchasing manager's survey basis? That means when you call the manager of a company and you ask him or her, are you guys hiring or firing, raising prices or lowering prices? The companies are responding in the affirmative in the services sector, services at 56. It just shows a very robust U.S. economy. And what about this recession watch that we were on? You actually have to look, and we have to give ourselves a little credit for being on recession watch, because if you look 2022, 2023, the economy was shrinking. I mean, it was contracting in services, and we actually had a print below 50 in late 2022. We had another one in the middle of this year, but now they've bounced. Maybe we had a flirtation with the recession during 2023 and maybe a little bit earlier this year, but it's over. Services back up at 56, everything going well. Manufacturing has been in the dumps for over 2 years. It's not affecting GDP enough to get us into recession. It's not affecting the labor market enough to get wages to contract. The only way that companies get to hire a new worker or not give an existing worker a raise is if the labor market has a lot of workers and you can just hire the next person. Guess what? You can't. So you have to raise wages, and that keeps the economy going. Really quickly, let's take a look at yields here. You see on the top pane, twos returned all the way to this 4.25 range. The 4.25 range tells us that the cutting cycle is not that much priced in anymore. There aren't these rapid cuts that are going into 2025. We thought rapid cuts were coming. We got 75 basis points of cuts. We'll probably get another 25 here. So 100 basis points of cuts, but they might be done for a while. Why? Because growth is looking good again. The labor market isn't looking that bad. The recession watch is over. So where are the cuts? They might not be there anymore. Let's get those cuts out of the market. Twos come back above 4.25. What about the long end of the yield curve? Three consecutive peaks here, lower peaks, 5%, 4.75, and then about 4.5. Now, we flagged 4.75 as a big area. We broke out above that. Now we are in the danger zone for 10-year yields. But how do they react at this 4.5 level? Are they purchased? Do they come back down? We'll have to wait and see. The demand, it's a little shaky in the Treasury market right now with the return of the GOP to power, tax cuts on the horizon, large issuance. We don't know what the Treasury Secretary is going to do. We don't know who it's going to be. We don't know how many bills versus coupons are going to be issued. These are all things that are keeping bond volatility a little bit elevated. Interest rates a little bit elevated. People don't know what to expect here in 2025. What do we expect on policy rates and interest rates in the market? Man, it's more and more tough to make that call here. We are going to continue to expect a December interest rate cut as we see the market still positioned for that cut. But beyond that, really all bets are off. The Trump White House is going to make very big changes for the United States of America in 2025. Those changes, we're starting to forecast them. And in December, you are going to hear us interview some of the United States experts on tariff policy, tax cuts, what's going to happen at the Treasury level with coupons versus bills, the dynamic between the Fed and the Treasury, how independent the Fed is going to be next year with Trump breathing down their necks. It's all going to be very fascinating. We're going to watch all of it. We hope you guys will stick along with us, thebitcoinlayer.com/subscribe. Make sure you're subscribed to this channel. If you prefer audio, rate and review on audio. That is a huge help for us. And don't forget, right now, until Thanksgiving, TBL Pro, 30% off for your first year. This is a very rare sale that we are having, so make sure that you guys go consider becoming a TBL Pro. We'll catch you next time.